Welcome to Business Beyond Borders, the go-to podcast for CPA firms seeking transformative insights. I'm your host, Lawrence Whittam, and with each episode, we'll uncover key insights, best practices, and invaluable resources tailored for CPAs. From trending strategies to diving deep into outsourcing and offshoring, our experts will help in all areas of your business. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Business Beyond Borders. I'm here today with a very special guest, Lauren Fogelman, who's here to, and it works, plays in very well with recent conversations I've had actually from a prior podcast a couple of weeks ago. So, and we're going to dig a little bit into how firms can really price themselves accordingly and how this relates to culture and talent within this space is because at the end of the day, firms need to be addressing how they're pricing themselves as firm owners because, again, we need to grow as a business, right? We can't be stuck on the hourly model necessarily where we can't even afford to hire talent ourselves, right? And we need to look at different areas to do this. So, and Lauren is an expert at this area. She works with lots of firms nationwide to help them with this type of angle. So, Lauren, very happy to have you on. Would love for you to introduce yourself to everybody.
Thank you, Lawrence. I am so excited about our conversation. And a little bit about me is I'm a sports psychologist turned business coach. And what I have found is our education prepared us with the technical parts, the know-how to do what we do really, really well. But it also prepared us to be employees working in someone else's business instead of firm owners. And because of that, there's actually three gaps that most firms need in order to be highly profitable and not feel like they're a slave to their firm. And the first one is how to communicate your value and what are the words, whether it's on your website, your advisor profile. Number two is how to be able to separate your fees from time in order to increase your revenues and work with higher quality clients. And the third one is how to enroll clients when you don't like the sales part and you don't want to push or pressure someone into working with you. So those are three things that I found for myself as well as the firm owners that I work with is communicating value, price strategy, and how to enroll someone when you might not want to be salesy.
And what I love about yourself is more that you're the doer. You're actually helping them implement it and put it in place. It's not just talking about that this is a problem, right? That we see in a lot of firms. It's now you've put a structure behind that, right? And you've created courses, you've created training, coaching in different areas. So can you go into a little bit of that? Like, what's that core problem? What are you seeing more firms structuring themselves as currently? And what do they need to get? How do they get away from that?
I think what happens is that most of us go into the workforce initially working for someone else as employees. And when working for someone else, we have a different type of mindset than when you step away and you have your own business and you start growing your own firm. So sticking with the employee mindset has you prioritize costs and your time over what the client values. And part of what I found is there's five steps which I talk about that starts to put you on the path to having your dream firm instead of being a slave to your firm. And it's called the raise your rates formula. And the five steps start with one is knowing who your quality clients are, because not all clients are going to be a right fit for your firm. And you really want to be aware of what's the difference between those clients that give you headaches and the ones that are a dream to work with. And then that goes right into number two, which is how to be able to communicate your value. What are the words you want to use on your pro advisor profile, on your website? When someone asks you what you're doing, we were just having that conversation just a moment ago before we started on how to be able to say something that grabs the attention of those right clients. Number three is packaging your services. And that starts to get away from the a la carte services and the line item invoices and focuses on bundling or packaging things together that are benefit driven. Four is value pricing, which is something we're taking a deeper dive into today. And how do you price based on the value to the client instead of looking at your time and cost? And number five is what I call consultation mastery, where when you're having that initial consultation or even talking with a current client about raising their fees, you're doing it in a way that is based on what is of value to the client instead of what is the questions you need to ask in order to do the work. So those are the five steps of the Raise Your Rates formula is quality clients, communicate value, package of services, value pricing, and consultation mastery.
Now, and I've seen a lot of firms, and again, I come back to a bit to the culture side of things and the people aspect, right? As firms, when they're hiring people and they're trying to attract talent to their firm, there's a huge, especially over the past few years, a big focus has been on the culture within firms. And what I mean by the culture, when it relates to our conversation, is around that, the number of hours they're working within their firm as well, and getting away from doing like crazy tax seasons where they're working 60, 70 hours. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to be in that mindset. Again, partners will do it and the owners will do it, which they shouldn't be, right? But also they then try and expect, the expectation is their team members will do it, which again has sort of driven people away a bit from this industry and this area, really. Now, so can you give me a few steps that people can implement to actually help reduce those hours and still making sure they're pricing effectively? What have you seen as like that best model to go with that you've seen the most success?
The first thing to look at is, so many firms, especially during tax season, they have what I call a factory style firm, where they're just cranking out 1099s in January, and then they're doing 1,000 tax returns during the 11-week sprint in tax season. And it's not sustainable. It is something that's going to lead to burnout, not just for you as a firm owner, but for your staff as well. And then you're going to have high churn within. And that you want to be able to look at the fact that it's possible to have more of a client-centered firm. And when you're client-centered, then you're working with a high-quality client. You're focusing on things that are of importance to them. So when you're thinking about how to be able to make this shift, there's three ways to increase the profit margins. I'm not talking about the revenues. I'm talking about the profit margins. And this is, the first one is, you can just get more clients and have that factory style firm where it's very transactional, not very relational. And then the next one is, you can cut costs. But when you cut costs, it means that you're having to put more hours in order to be able to meet your revenue needs. And the third one is looking at your fees that you're charging and being able to increase your fees. And when you do that, it is actually almost pure profit, whereas the other two, getting more clients or cutting costs, has a cost to them either of time or money or a little bit of both. Raising your rates is hands down the best way to be able to impact your profit margin.
And now, so what's the first step? Right. Or what's the first initial steps from that? Right. How does somebody really start to do it? Because I know that, again, working with firms on a different avenue, it's not about the, like, they need to be educated on how to do it, right? And they get nervous about the clients, what they think is going to be the response. And again, I've seen it firsthand. I've heard from firms sitting in conferences and saying, like, we raised our rates 20-30% and we expected certain, just to push out certain clients. And they said, you know what? Don't worry about it. Actually, don't mind your new rate. We're happy to pay that. So, and same thing with the outsourcing, like there are certain forms and stuff that they have to disclose to their clients. But then when they actually do it, they actually, no clients actually end up talking to them, or maybe one out of 1,000 clients will say something about it. And so it's they sort of get in their own heads.
Right. So if you want to, yeah, if you want to know the first steps, is the very first step is you have to connect with your value before you can expect someone else to see the value of what you offer. And people don't like change so much, whether it's you making changes with what you're doing or telling clients that you're going to do things differently. So the mindset is usually the thing that blocks us and keeps us from moving in a different direction and doing something new, because we don't want to be confrontational. We don't want pushback, so on and so forth. So the mindset is the first thing. And then the second thing you want to look at, and this is if you're looking to raise rates with your clients, is I want you to list out on an Excel spreadsheet everything you do for your clients, whether it is something that you pay for or the things that you do without ever getting compensated. And just put that long laundry list there of everything. Let it be a brain dump. And then once you have that list, then you want to look at whether it's one of three categories. Is it something that's essential? Is it something that's preferred? Your clients prefer to have it, but it's not essential. Or is it something advanced? So now it kind of goes into three different buckets of essential, preferred, and advanced. And that helps you now start to categorize those things into packages. So moving away from the dollar per hour and time-based fees over to value pricing by packaging your services. And basically, the things that are essential would be in the first package, which I call silver. The things that are going to be preferred will be in the gold package. So everything for the silver goes into the gold because it's tiered. And then the third package, which would be the diamond, would be the things that are advanced. So now you have the essentials in the silver, you have the preferred in the gold, and you have the advanced things in the diamond. And once again, those are tiered packages. One builds off of the previous one.
So what is it that firms, let's say, from that perspective, right, when they're booking it down? Because I dig into the process a lot of the times when it comes to outsourcing, right, for the specific tax, accounting, audit process, whatever the case is. And I see that firms break it down, let's say, to the five steps, right? Let's just give an example, right? Whereas there's actually, when you break it down further, you can go and expand that five steps to 15 steps, right?
Yes.
But, and I think those are the elements that you're talking about, in that there are probably a bucket of things they're doing that they don't realize the time they're putting in the background, right, for these firms. And they may lead on from one to the other, and they're not necessarily billing right now for those types of areas. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think that there's, first of all, the firm owners that I speak with, they are very, very client-centered. They care very deeply, but their rates don't reflect the value of what they do. And that's why I really recognize that they have to recognize, they have to realize how they make a difference for their clients and where they're giving things away, and that they deserve to be compensated. The other part that I look at is that they're afraid of clients leaving if they do raise their rates. But actually, studies show that if they're going to be able to do a fee increase and they tend to be client-centered, they ought to expect about 82 up to 100% of clients to retain their services. So they're not going to lose as many clients as they're afraid of. And also, they are going to be able to increase their revenues with less clients, which gives them back some of that time, so they no longer have to be that factory-style firm. And this helps the culture of their firm, where they don't have to work as many hours. It takes some of the pressure off of their staff as well, and also allows them to focus on higher-level services of business development or advisory services. So the steps go back to the raise your rates formula of knowing who is it that you want to work with, because once again, not everybody is the right client fit for your services. Some clients you would just rather go away, and then how to be able to move to packages, communicate that. And so let me ask you, as part of what you're asking, how you would tell clients that you're currently working with that you're making this changes. So I just want to be clear that I'm answering it correctly, Lawrence.
No. I mean, it's, you answered it correctly, right? I mean, from what I know about it and what I see, like, you're doing it based on experience. And the reason I ask was more because I see it across different angles. There's a lot of the partners and a lot of the owners of firms, they like to be involved in working in the business with their clients, hands-on, right? They're very emotional towards their clients. They enjoy doing what they're doing. But I see an element also of, they know that they're a business owner to some extent, right, in the back of their mind, and they know what they want to get to, but they get sort of dragged into, again, what they're always accustomed to doing, which is doing the work, which really, in order to grow and scale, you can't necessarily do it with everybody, right?
Right. There's two things coming up as you're talking about that. One is, first, you have to set client expectations and have some boundaries. I don't want you to be available 24/7 where somebody texts you Sunday night at 8:15 expecting to drop everything and give them a response back. We need to establish some expectations with new clients coming in, as well as with current clients, about how to best communicate together so that it is a beneficial relationship on both sides. That's one thing. The other thing is, as you mentioned, with firm owners, it's impossible to scale when you're totally immersed in the day-to-day operations, doing all the work, including some of the lower tasks that are below your pay grade. If you're looking to really expand, there's two things. Is one, how do you lighten workload? And the second one is, are there some things in your firm that you offer that really aren't a right fit for where you want your firm to go to? So those are some things to think about is, what have you been tolerating? And sometimes you're tolerating people. So the wrong clients, the wrong associates, the wrong employees. So what have you been tolerating as far as people, places? Are there maybe your workspace isn't a great workspace for you? Or that you go into too many networking events, or you're on too many boards volunteering your hours away. And then the other thing is things. Are there services that you're offering because people asked for it and you said yes, but it's not really a great fit for your firm moving forward? So what are you tolerating to shed? And what is it that is really the things that only you can do as a firm, or that differentiate your firm from others so that you can be known for something and attract those right fit clients for you?
So I know there's different areas here, right? At the end of the day, I mean, it's not just the pricing aspect, right? It's a lot of more coming into the business and really having them understand as well what their goals are, what they're looking to do. Now, when we talk about that culture side of things, let's say mm-hmm. we're a firm and they want to grow, right? And it's a firm mm-hmm. that wants to grow. They want to add team members, whether they're offshore, outsourced, whether they're internally, it doesn't matter, but they want mm-hmm. to attract talent as well. And I think the important aspect there is as well, like, you have to build a very good area and focus. Again, don't necessarily go and do all the recruitment and all this training and mm-hmm. all this yourself, right? There's probably better people to do that, to help with it. But what are some of these things that you see firms, why they interact with you to do this, right? What are they actually, after they've been with you for a few months or 6 months or a year, what do they expect to really, like, what do you see them getting out of it at the end of the day? Is it more peace of mind right now? Again, I'm sure they become profitable, but then it's not all about the money for a lot of them. Because like you said, I mean, it's a lot of the time it's about the clients. It's about making sure that they enjoy working with the clients mm-hmm. in a lot of cases. So what do you see?
Basically, what I see is that people go into business. I mean, most people become firm owners because there's something different that they want. And it's not just about the money. The money is something that allows them to do something else. So what is it that you would be able to do if you had increased revenues, if you had less time working in your business? How would that make an impact on your quality of life? Or how would you be able to give back in some other way or do something for yourself or somebody else? And that is what I love to get behind with my clients, is finding out for them, what is it that would really make a difference for you and be meaningful in being able to give back or raise your quality of life in some way? And that is what I want to work with my clients for. And part of the way that we do that is being able to change their business model so that they're more value focused on delivering value to the clients, being able to charge higher fees, getting away from invoicing and time line items on their invoice and sending out invoices, and being able to focus on more of the higher level services or something that absolutely they have passion about. So it's getting away from the grind and feeling like they are working a lot of hours for too little money, and being able to make the transition to something that is going to be their dream firm. So I work with them to create their dream firm instead of what would be my dream firm.
And now, expectation wise, right? I mean, from a firm owner listening to this today, right? How long does it take? And I'm sure it varies, because to me, it's somewhat mm-hmm. of a mindset shift, right? And really, for some, quite a big change, right? And again, change is uncomfortable, but change is mm-hmm. a constant that everybody needs to get yes. more comfortable doing, right? So, but what, yeah, like, can you give us a rough mm-hmm. idea? Like, what does that look like?
Right. It's a process and an evolution, and different people go at their own rate. So I want to just say that my aim that I see with my clients is to recoup their investment with me within 3 months. So this isn't a long, drawn out process. I've seen them do it within 1 month. So it depends on the person, and that moving in this direction, making these changes, takes courage, not confidence. The confidence comes later after you start to see the results happening, but you know that you can't keep on doing it the way that you have been doing it. So what I would say is that some people, they are going to implement very quickly. Others take a little bit longer. But my feeling is that I work with you at your speed. I'm able to coach you to be able to move forward a little, stretching your comfort zone, because I want you to get the results of what we're both focused on together. So I would say it depends on the individual, and I really pace myself and work with them at their speed, because we're all a little bit different, and I want them to be able to see the benefits and have it be sustainable beyond our work together. So they need to be able to integrate in a way that works for them instead of what works for me.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, that's the big thing. It's they can't go back to what they were doing afterwards, because then it regresses everything. Like, it doesn't help the situation.
Lawrence, what they were doing before wasn't working then, and it's still not working now.
Yeah, yeah. So not to fall back into that comfort. So no, so that's great. And can you tell us, like, maybe your personal opinion from the packages and the things that you focus on with firms? What's the best place to start if somebody wants to really get started and work with you to do this? Like, what is the area that you like to work best with them first to make sure that they're comfortable in then taking, like, future steps as well and looking at different areas?
Well, first of all, I don't take on just anybody that reaches out to me. I want to make sure that this is someone who's a right fit for me, I'm a right fit for them, and that I know I can get results. So we have conversations before I'm even talking about what it would be like to move forward, to make sure that it is a right fit client for me and I'm right for them too. What I would say, it depends on the priorities. I really customize what I do to the client. It's not cookie cutter. And sometimes people come to me because they have several proposals waiting to be sending out, and they want to make sure that they're pricing it right. And with those clients, we just immediately dig in and we knock out those proposals. And that way they're getting a recoup on their investment right away from our work together, because I'm helping them price that proposal higher than they would themselves, and giving them the words on how to explain the value to the client also, so it becomes an easy yes. With other clients, digging right into their packages, and we're starting to package their services so that they can start to make the transition. And I would say, when I work in that direction with packaging first, 75% of my clients, if they have capacity, they want new clients, they're going to be enrolling first new clients into packages, getting used to that process before they get their current clients into packages. Now, gotcha. If I'm working with a firm that's at capacity, they don't want any new clients, then we're creating packages and they're going to be communicating that to their current clients. And then as they have more capacity, they'll offer that to new clients coming in.
Gotcha. And now, is there anything, as we start to come to the hour and start wrapping up, is A, where can everybody find you, right? And B, is there anything else that you would like to share that, again, you think it would be very beneficial to know before they get off this podcast?
Yes. If you feel that you're ready to start moving away from time-based fees, whether it's an hourly rate or fixed fees, and you've heard about value pricing, but you haven't really gotten results, it's confusing, I want to give you the exact formula to start value pricing your services. This is kind of like when you first start learning how to ride a two-wheel bicycle, and in the beginning you're shaky, so you put on those training wheels. So this is like the training wheels towards value pricing. I call it good, better, best pricing. What you want to do is, you're going to have new clients come into you, come up with that original fixed fee that you would have charged those clients. And now we're going to multiply it by 1.5, and this will be your new good rate. I want you to enroll 3 people at your new good rate, which is 1.5 times higher than what you originally would have charged for that service. After you enroll 3 people, you have some awareness that people aren't quite as price sensitive. We're going to go up to tier 2. With tier 2 would be a new better rate. So once again, proposals coming to you, come up with that original fixed fee. Now we're going to multiply it by 2x. And I want you to enroll 3 people at that new better rate at 2x. And you're getting better now at having that initial consult where you know what questions they might ask and how to show them the value of your firm services. After you enroll those 3 people, we go up to tier 3, which is your new best rate. Once again, you come up with that original fixed fee you would have charged. You're now going to multiply it by 3x, which means you're earning three times more what you originally would have charged for that same service. No additional time spent working. And as you're doing that, you realize that you don't need as many clients to meet your revenue needs. You can take back some of that time to either work on business development, add in advisory services, or just take care of yourself and not be so stressed out. So that's the good, better, best pricing model that starts to move you towards value pricing and working with a higher quality client.
I love that. So that's, again, you've given away somewhat of that secret sauce. So I love it. And I appreciate you sharing that. So now what I want to hear is everybody's feedback. And after they've done it, they should come back and they should tell us how successful has that been to them?
Right, right.
And then more of an advocacy to then come back to Lauren and she can take you to the next step. So,
and I know I went through that really quickly, Lawrence. If they want to actually grab the steps that I just shared, they can go to businesssuccess.com /package. And the steps to be able to start packaging and value pricing your services with that good, better, best model is laid out right there. So it's businesssuccesssolution.com /package. You can grab the instructions and do it today.
Perfect. So we'll definitely post that below as well with the podcast so everybody can get and with your details to reach out to you. Appreciate it, Lauren. Thank you for sharing everything today. And again, want to just say thank you to everyone for listening. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Business Beyond Borders. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Business Beyond Borders. I'm Lawrence Whittam, and it's been a pleasure bringing you impactful insights tailored for the modern CPA firm. Remember, the world of accounting is vast and ever-evolving, and we're here to navigate it together. For more resources and episodes, don't forget to subscribe and reach out to our experts. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of your business and explore the limitless possibilities beyond borders.